Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We do a backup copy as well, just in case, because,
okay, all good.
No one wants to do this again. I mean, it's lovely.
Wow.
I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like,
thanks. We're all busy.
This might be the best hour of your life, you don't know.
What a start. That's a lovely way to compliment our wonderful guest.
No one wants to be here. No one wants to do it again.
Yeah, let's fucking just, you know.
It's welcome to the podcast.
Amazing scenes.
All right, you all can good. Introduce there, Nelly. Okay. I've done a really hash job on so
far. Yeah, you've totally fucked it. Let's see if I can get this car back on the road.
Good.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It is I, Ellie. I've got to change from is it me? Change it up. What do you think?
Go on, make things new. Yeah.
It is I, Ellie Gibson. Who are you?
It is thy, Helen Thorne.
It is thy.
It's not very good for me.
Do you know who Shakespeare is?
Probably.
Robert Shakespeare. Yeah. He's a very famous. He used to do a lot of. He wrote Broadchurch. Anyway, okay. Welcome to the podcast. Our lovely guest, Kate Ferdinand.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here, especially because, if you don't mind me saying, you are. You know, I'm making a movement with my hands. I don't know why I'm afraid to say the word pregnant.
She's got
the duff. That's right. How pregnant are you, Kate?
I'm 7.5 months.
Seven and a half months, and you could be asleep right now, but you're here with us. To talk some shit. Amazing. Thank you so much for giving up
good
your day.
Point.
Yes,
good. Why am I not asleep?
Yeah.
I had like 2 hours sleep last night. It's at that stage, I don't know if anyone's felt this, where I'm so tired in the day and I'm really moaning about it.
Yeah.
And then I get in bed and I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
What is that stage?
It's parenting in a nutshell for me. That sounds like my whole life, to be honest.
All you want to do is lie down during the day. And did you find, because this is your second pregnancy, your second baby, were you like twice or like 10 times as tired this time around? I just could not stay awake. Like, I just never felt tiredness like I had with the second baby.
I feel like it's so up and down. One day I'm like, right, we're organising this room. I'm going to work. I'm super mum.
Yeah.
The next day I'm like, I cannot get out of bed.
Yeah.
I cannot get out of bed. Everything's cancelled. There's just no medium.
Yeah.
But I'm very tired. But to be honest, I'm working a lot. I'm trying to keep busy to just get through. I'm not a huge lover of being pregnant.
Right.
I'm grateful for it. I can't wait to meet my baby, but I don't love actually being pregnant.
Kate, this is a safe space. If you want to say it's fucking shithouse, you say that, my love. Everybody's experience is different. That's not a reflection on anyone else's experience.
Yeah.
And I think they could be different. But with the first one, I quite liked it. I was like just sort of floating around, because you do when it's your first one, don't you? Because you don't know. With the second one, I was like, I didn't want to eat. I wanted to sleep all the time. I was like,
You were addicted to lilt, I remember. You couldn't stop drinking lilt.
Well, I mean, it is totally tropical taste. I mean, who... really could blame me. Have you had any funny cravings?
I love mini eggs, but then I love them every year. But it got to a point where, like, I'm stocking up on the mini eggs. Oh. So there's
the
been a lot of those.
The bags have got smaller, Kate. I swear the bags have got smaller.
But hasn't everything got smaller like
it
that?
It has. Crunchies look like, you know, like the size of your thumb.
Yeah.
It's very unsatisfying.
All right, when we finished moaning like a pair of old ladies. Oh, and I'll tell you something else. In the war, at least we had community spirit. It was a different time. Now, look, we're here. Let's just put the elephant on the table. That's not a phrase.
No.
We're here to talk about your book, Kate, How to Build a Family. Tell us about your book.
My book, How to Build a Family, is all about blended families, lots of different advice and tips and experts, a little bit of my story, just about becoming a stepmom. And, it's kind of like a guide. I felt like when I become a step parent, I'm obviously absolutely not the first stepmom ever, but I felt like I didn't know where to turn or where to go. And I'm hoping that this is the thing. I feel like this is the thing that I needed when I started my journey.
The way stepmoms are portrayed is always the evil stepmom. Mm. You know, the way we've been sort of indoctrinated, like it's, you know, it's going to be hard and it's going to be awful, and it's all the negative things around it as well. But it's really lovely to see sort of a celebration of this when it's all meant to be like, oh, you know, like when I got divorced, it's like broken families and this is a struggle, but there's so much to be gained from it.
Absolutely. I think, listen, don't get me wrong, in those early days it's really hard and you feel like you just don't know where you're going, you can't see through the fog. But it is so amazing as well. But you don't always hear that.
Mm.
It is always the evil stepmum. So I'm hoping to kind of change the narrative. Especially, I've got a children's book coming out as well. I'm going to put that one in there.
Absolutely. Get it in at the top.
The family book. Tree. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Will you be doing a 2-for-1 offer on those, Kate?
I'm not sure about that. Sorry, guys. The family tree. Listen, when I was younger, all I remember is books and this evil stepmom that was really, really horrible.
Mm.
So I'm hoping just to kind of change the narrative a little bit and be able to have conversations that are more like real life, because there's so many blended families and not all stepmoms are evil.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, if we can go back sort of to the beginning, because you are married to Rio Ferdinand, who I think, I'm not really into sport, he's a rugby player or something. What does he do? Tennis?
I think he's a swimmer, actually, isn't he?
He's a swimmer.
Something like that.
He's rarely in the media.
I can't keep up. Frankly, I'd never heard of him until I met you. So he's some sort of sportsman. And where did you guys meet?
We met on holiday, actually, in Dubai. It's a funny story. He was just doing his... He was out with, like, his sister and I was out with all loads of couples. We went every year. And we just met on the beach. And the rest is history, I suppose.
Did you see him? And no, because I've never, like... Well, I've been married a long time anyway to someone who's just an IT an IT manager. So I can't imagine. Like, did you see him and think, there's Rio Ferdinand? Did you know who he was? And
so no. I'm an only child and I live with just my mum.
Right.
And we could never afford the extra sports channels.
Right.
So don't get me wrong, I know who the name Rio Ferdinand.
Mm.
But I've never really... I didn't know it was him when I first met him. But it's a funny story, because some of my friends a year prior were on an aeroplane. They were going to a stag do or something. And Rio was on the same plane. And they met on the plane and they had loads of jokes or whatever. And they knew each other. Obviously didn't see each other for another year. But then when we were on the beach in Dubai, they knew each other. So they all went and said hello. And that's how we got introduced.
Oh.
Yes. So it wasn't just like you in slow motion running down the beach in a bikini. And they go, oh, my God.
Oh, my God, that's that tennis player.
No, absolutely not.
Oh,
and I was actually
lovely.
Eating a massive burger. Rio tells this story. Like, I was really hungover. You know, when I was on the beach, I just really wanted to enjoy my burger in peace.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest, I could see someone staring at me and it was really putting me off, because I was thinking, I really want to enjoy this. Like, why are you looking at me?
Yeah,
so that's our ongoing joke. He said, the way you ate that burger, I don't even know how I come near you. He said I destroyed it.
Oh, awesome. Imagine if it had been a hot dog. And then I noticed you wrote on the running order, so Helen writes the sort of the rough questions or the sort of vague idea of what we're talking about. I noticed you wrote on the running order, Helen, what was your first night together like? Which basically just means, you know, how was the shag?
No, that was within the contents of when you first stayed over at the kid with the kids in the house. Not that, I mean, let's go there. I mean, how was it?
I mean, I'm not sure we're going to go there.
Because you don't have any filters. Some people like to, you're never going to believe this, Helen. Some people like to keep things to themselves, private information.
Well, look, you're pregnant with your second child, Rio. Obviously, things are working very well.
You've done
in
it
that,
twice.
In that department. Yeah. We'll put that out there.
Two holes
well
in done. A sheet. Well done. Yeah, how did it develop from the moment on the beach, the burger moment, as it were?
I think we went on a couple dates. Listen, Rio's in the public eye. I was on a TV show. It was difficult to kind of... We tried to keep it quiet for the children for as long as possible. To
meet you around the back of Nando's, 6:30.
Something like that. Just to see if we actually... You know, you've got to see if we actually... This is going to work before you introduce it to me to the kids. And then I think it got out in the press quite quickly within a couple months.
Mm.
And then I think I met the kids in April. So I met Rio the last day of December.
Mm.
And I met their children for the first time in April. So that was quite quick.
Mm.
But I feel like when you know, you know.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to ask you, because there's lots of people who listen to the podcast who are single parents, and, you know, meeting a new partner is a big thing, and like, and especially if you've been hurt before and things like that, it is a big step going into a new relationship, especially when children are involved. Was it love at first sight though? Did you know in your waters that he was potentially a husband?
I think the minute we just got on really, really well on that first night, we couldn't stop laughing. We had such a good time.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you just forget about everything else. Mm. And I thought, well, I've said this, it is embarrassing. I got home that night and I said, I'm gonna marry him. And my mate's like, shut, what are you talking? You're drunk. Go to bed. And I said, no, I'm gonna marry him. And then I woke up in the morning and they were like, oh, you're gonna marry him? And I was like, no, I'm not. I don't know what I was talking. I must have been drunk, you know. But here I've married him. Aww. I just had a feeling. Don't get me wrong, there was a lot of hard stuff that went on in between all of that first day and then getting married, and lots of, you know, God, like blending families, everything. There's so much gone on, but I feel like I kind of knew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I always now say to not my kids, I always say, like, when you know, you know. It's a different kind of feeling, I think. Would you say?
No, I wouldn't.
Great.
I was friends with my husband for like 7 years or something before we even had our first kiss, and then it was like another 7 years before we got married, so we pissed about a lot. I didn't know, to be honest. Oh. We were really good friends and I really liked him, but I didn't know. But then I think it was a different stage of my life as well. I think that's to do with it. I don't know where you were, but I was sort of like, you know, I was going to do a lot of traveling and I wanted to go backpacking and do all this stuff, so I think it just sort of depends on that as well. And I think as well, like you said, I wasn't in the public eye, and that must be added quite a lot of pressure, I think, to the relationship, did it?
I think so, because you know, it takes a little while to get to know someone, and you want to do that privately in case it doesn't work out, and you don't want the whole world to know if it's just not really going where you want it to go. But doing that discreetly with someone who's quite famous and being on a reality TV show is not the easiest thing. We managed it for a little amount of time. Yeah. And then it's actually quite funny, because there was Paps waiting outside my flat in Essex. This is a funny story. I've never told this. Here you go. You've got a good one here. And Rio, obviously, there's only one way out. There's one way out of the house, of the flat. He knocked on the person downstairs. So I was like, I can't even remember what floor I was on. Downstairs or two. And said, I'm really sorry. Can I go through your back door? Can I run through?
Like a reverse burglar.
I'm not a creep. I just want to get out.
Imagine that being your sexual fetish. You go into women's houses and then leave. That's what's happening.
I can't believe I'm saying this story. I forgot that this was a story.
It's hilarious. So just put the Paps off the scent, sort of thing.
But they were on both. They were waiting on both sides, so they got in. Makes it a little bit more difficult, doesn't it? Because you don't really know what you are yourself.
Yeah.
And then you've got a lot of questions. It's a very sensitive subject, because Rio's lost his wife. There's lots of explaining to do to lots of people. It's not just simple, just you're dating and let's see what happens kind of thing. So luckily, it's worked out well.
Yeah, so far. That's good.
Yeah. It has worked out well. Don't say that. Bloody hell.
I've just been with her for several years of her going, get divorced, you'll be happier. So I'm indoctrinated now. No, of course, I'm sure it's all marvellous.
What was the way you kind of approached it? Because it must have been a big thing. Because how old were the kids back then?
Six. Tia was six. Tate was eight. Lorenz was 10.
Right, yeah.
I think I just met as dad's friend.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a girlfriend or anything like that. And through a mutual friend. And I was just around the house. And then Rhea and the kids came around and I was there. And we'd done a few things like that where I happened to be there a few times. And I knew them away from being a girlfriend, like dad was dating me. And then it was like, oh, Rio was like to the kids, that girl that's at the house with the dog, because I always took the dog, do you think I should ask her on a date? So then he involved the kids in that whole process, that
he made them Cilla Black in the, in the relationship.
that's so lovely. Clever.
Yeah,
that's
so really we wanted beautiful. Them. We were worried. The children had been through so much.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's a lot for them to process. So they were kind of involved in it.
Yeah, because I think, you know, one of the tricky things is obviously is how much you see them and the frequency and things like that. So in preparation, I was reading your book yesterday and also your beautiful children's book. I asked my son, so I got separated and their dad partnered up with someone else very quickly afterwards, and they met her about a month afterwards, and that was a big thing for them. And I said, oh, you know, if you could give advice to others, what would you? And he said, oh, just take it really slowly and don't do too much kissing at the beginning. And he said, try not to have sex.
Great advice.
Amazing.
At least do it quietly. Do it quietly. Maybe on one of the 5 nights you don't have them.
Yeah. And then he said, look, they don't have to go to everything. Don't invite them to everything and still have some family things without them and just take it really slowly. You don't need to rush it. And that was Hugo's advice about introducing, because I've got a partner, but I haven't introduced him yet, and it's been a bit over 6 months, so they're very, very keen. But I, because it got rushed the first time, I'm very conscious of that. So your book has that come at the right time, Kate. I was like, oh, this is like a Bible. This is like my how-to guide, and it was so comforting.
Oh,
so
amazing. Yeah. And that's great advice from him, actually. We kind of done similar. I wasn't just all of a sudden at the house. Mm. It was like we used to do this thing, the kids know now because they're old, where we'd say we're going on a date. We wouldn't really. We'd just go to the pub and have a drink and we'd be back within half an hour.
Right.
And then we'd do something really fun with the kids when we got back. So then every time I came, they would associate it with, oh, we're doing something fun afterwards. And actually, Dad isn't gone for that long. She's not taking Dad away from us.
Yeah.
We're actually then all coming together and doing more fun stuff.
Yeah, that's
so beautiful. We just kind of, well, we have to really think about it and think about the kids. And that seemed to work. So just involving them in everything. And really, I mean, it wasn't the most, we didn't have the whole honeymoon period. Mm. It went full blown, right, we've got kids. And if we're going to make this work,
we're all in.
So the romance was pretty dead because there's three kids. They've lost their mum. You're just thinking about so much. Just want to get it right. Mm. Yeah, just don't be. I don't feel like I was there constantly. And when I was fun. Yeah. And absolutely no kissing. Even we said this the other day, like, I said, we don't really kiss in front of the kids that much. And I said, it's because at the beginning we were so conscious to not do
hands
it.
Hands above the table.
To not do it, to not worry them or make it uncomfortable, that all of a sudden we've then just continued that. So we've started having a little pet. We go, oh, give us a kiss. They're like, ugh, but you're disgusting. But it is 6 years down the line now.
Yeah. But you were, because you were, is it 26 you were when you met Rio? So I just wanted to go back. Like, was there a bit of you, was there any little bit of you that was like, you know, wow, this is a lot to take on. Like, obviously, I love this man. I'm going to marry him. Fine. But three kids at 26, that is an awful lot. I don't know if I, because again, like, it comes back to, like you were saying, do you feel that we're all different people, right? We have different sort of resilience and stuff. I don't know if I could take that on, to be honest.
I'm laughing because I didn't think about it properly. I think if I'd have thought about it properly, well, I'd still probably still be here. But I didn't. I just thought, oh, I really like him. I wasn't a mum before. I didn't really understand the intensity of what I was getting into.
Yeah.
I knew they'd lost their mum, but I think I was in a bit of a love bubble. I've got to be honest with you. Mm. I hadn't fully thought about the whole situation. I think my naivety might have been a good thing, actually, coming into it. Otherwise, I'd have overthought everything. It was only when I moved in that I thought, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I hadn't really thought about it. I just hadn't really taken everything into consideration.
So was the reality different to what you'd kind of pictured in your head?
Yeah. When you're seeing the kids once a week or twice a week, you're doing really fun things and everyone's really happy and you're really getting on, you don't live with them. It's very different to being a full-time stepmum to three kids who have lost their mum, living in a house that obviously was the marital home for Rio and his wife, and never having kids and not cooking, and I hadn't done anything. The motherly kind of roles.
Yeah, you skipped ahead, like, you know, 15 years of what we've sort of done day to day, because I've just got teenagers now, and I thought, how, you know, when I was reading your book, how have you just, like, that's such huge leap into, you know, feelings and emotions and hormones and fucking school WhatsApp groups, Kate. Let's talk about that. Jesus.
Honestly, even just keeping up with logistics, forget about any of the emotional stuff. Yeah. Just from going to being single and kind of just being on a reality show and floating about if you want to go out for dinner, not really worrying about cooking if you don't want to, to, right, we've got all these clubs and this is what the children like, and I can't cook it, obviously. Mm. And WhatsApp, P kits, this, I don't know what anything in the house is. forget about the emotion. That in itself was a minefield for me.
Mm.
But I only realised when I was in it, so that I'm in it and I was dealing with it, and I found it really, really difficult, and it took a good couple of years for me to actually feel comfortable, because I didn't know, I was so out of my depth.
What was the most challenging thing you found? Was it dealing with the grief, or was it just, like you say, the mum shit?
I think it's just a mix of everything. I found the logistics hard, and not being able to cook. I was a people pleaser. I want everyone to be happy. I want, you know, to cook lovely food. I can't remember the first meal I cooked, and they were like, "Oh, but do you like it?" No, and I was like, "Oh, I can't even cook." You know those early little things like that.
Did you try and make something really wholesome and healthy?
It was only for heaters, so I don't know how I could have even got that wrong, but I did.
That's got vegetables in it, Kate. Come on, that's vegetables. Come on, that's basic stuff. Kids aren't going to eat vegetables.
But I didn't cook, honestly. I just cooked what I wanted, or like little nothingy things. Yeah. Now you've got to think about everything. So it's more just the dynamics of being a mum every day to three kids that I don't know all their needs. So if you have children... biologically, you kind of day to day know about them, you know everything, and as the years go on, you learn all about them. Yeah. Because I've been thrown into this, and I don't really know each of their personalities fully. I don't know what they do and what they don't like, and I was struggling to be honest.
That's a really big thing. And unlike in the book, you sort of say in the beginning, you just sat in the house, or you were part of that household, and then but slowly you started to make some changes, like you know, changing the kitchen and things like that. And I thought that was really beautiful how you said, oh, you know, they got to help choose the colors and things like that. And so could you describe how you started to make it the blended family, rather than you being sort of put into a house and then having to adapt to everybody else?
It's hard, I think, for anyone in this situation, because you don't want to come in, the kids are really comfortable in their home, and be like, right, I'm not comfortable, I'm changing everything, because that's going to like uproot the children. So it was quite a long process of me, you know, feeling a little bit uncomfortable in the house, I have to be honest. And it got to a stage where it's like, right, we're going to make some changes. But again, like it was from the beginning, where, you know, we Rio asked the kids, should I take Kate out? It's like, we're thinking about doing the kitchen, we're thinking about doing this, and just having the kids involved in everything. Obviously, they didn't really have the final decision. We'd put three colours on the wall, we like all of them. We didn't say you can have a green kitchen, but they felt involved in the choices. Just bit by bit, it started to feel more homely. And I think it was good for all of us, actually, because it was like a new setting, as in they would remember their mum in certain like places in the house, and it felt like a little bit of a new setting, that main hub where we cook and eat and we're together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just moved. That's why
I'm shocked, because you haven't been silent the whole time.
What's lovely about the book is that you obviously highlight all those, you know, beautiful connections and things like that, but you do talk about discipline and boundaries, and as a step parent, there are times where the biological parent won't be around, and you will have to step in and intervene. You can't just let the kids like bash each other up, or, you know, or have their boundaries. I love when you talked about, was it bath times, when they said, "Oh, I don't know, we have baths in the morning," and you'd like, "I can't check that." Yeah, you know,
I don't know. I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then you just got to go with it, haven't you? I didn't know what. Honestly, I didn't know the routine. So I think maybe on holiday they had a bath time in the night time, because I went on holiday before I moved in with them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then I can't even remember; it's such a blur. But then I thought they had one in the morning and the night and the morning. But now that I'm in the parenting role, and not everything is fully overwhelming. Of course they didn't have one in the night and the morning, but I didn't really know what I was bloody doing, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Someone told me one thing, I just cling on to it. I think that's what we're doing. We're rolling with that.
Yeah.
I'm quite maternal, but it takes a while when there's so much that you're taking on to get into to knowing what you're doing and getting your rhythm. But I think that's the same even if you give birth. It takes a while to get into your rhythm, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And discipline, I mean, every family's different, and I know discipline is really hard. Even with your biological kids, it's hard. But I do discipline the children. Rio, he's given me full rein to discipline them, and I live there full time, so I do. And it was hard at the beginning.
Did they push back on that? Were they like, you know?
Well, come on, they probably thought, who is this lady coming in telling us what to do? Like, we're not going to listen to her.
Yeah.
They've always been very respectful, and it's taken a while. I think it's just trust and building a relationship with the kids that it takes quite a while to gain respect. If someone just come into your house and started telling you what to do, you wouldn't really like it, would you?
You see it when my mum comes round.
So it just takes time, but now we're in a good place. You know, I tell them what to do. Whether they listen to me or not is another story. Because they're teenagers.
Oh, yeah. None of my children listen to me.
No. But one of the things I like about the book is it's so honest. And there's a bit where you talk about how, you know, kids... Well, we say in the show... All kids, like all adults, are dicks sometimes. You don't use that phrase, Kate, to be clear.
She's a nicer person than us.
But you talk about how kids, they really do know how to push buttons and they can say the most awful things.
To be honest with you, they never really have been too cutting, the kids.
Okay.
There's one time one of them said something, I could tell he instantly regretted it. They're quite respectful.
Okay.
They might want to say it, but they don't, in all honesty. But I think it does take a while just to get used to kids, just even if it's not about being a stepmom, just saying mad shit, like, are you going to wear that out? Are you wearing that? Are you going out? And you're like, you know, what do you mean? Like, you know, just the stuff that they come out with, they're just so honest.
Mm.
It's kids, isn't it?
Yeah.
And when you're not used to it, I suppose, like, you know, you get used to it the longer you're a parent for, so you just brush it off and it's funny.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you're new in a situation like that and they say, you're going out with that, you think, how was this kid disrespecting me?
Ouch, yeah.
But now if they say, I think, oh, whatever, I'm doing what I want.
Yeah.
It's not personal because I'm confident in who I am, whereas back then I wanted to really please and I wasn't confident with certain things. So if they said, are you going to go out wearing that? I thought, oh, my God, I shouldn't be wearing this. Like, why am I wearing this? You know, like, I'd criticise myself.
Can we talk about you getting married? And obviously that was another big decision that you made together as a family. How did that all come about?
Did they all get down on one knee?
Yeah.
Well, no. But yeah, they were involved in the wedding. I mean, the boys walked me down the aisle.
Oh, wow.
And Tia was my maid of honour. I feel like that's the key for us anyway. Just having them involved in everything.
Mm.
Like, it was about... I mean, it was about me and Rio getting married, obviously, but it was more us all coming together as a family.
Yeah.
And it was a really emotional day because, you know, everything that they've been through, to think that we were then getting married, emotions were sky high on the day. There's lots of tears, but it was happy tears.
Yeah.
Did they struggle with it? Was there an element of, you know...
One of them got a little bit upset because I think no one was expecting, obviously... The speeches, like a few people done speeches, and one of Rio's speech, of course, mentioned their mum, and another speech mentioned their mum, of just like how far we've all come. So I think that was a bit overwhelming for them to hear because I don't think they were expecting it. And the kids done speeches, all three of the kids done a speech. It was just so emotional. We watched the video back about a month or so ago, and we're all crying, thinking, "Wow, it's so special." Honestly,
yeah.
And then, how did you tell them about the new baby, the new brother or sister that was coming along?
They were asking for one for ages. In fact, Tate, in his wedding speech, he was very short. He just went, "Dad, when's the baby coming?" or something like that. So they were begging us for a baby for a long time.
Oh wow!
And when we told them, they were so excited.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I think we just—I know what we've done. Actually, we got all photos. I got all their baby photos from when they were kids, and just said that I made them a special album with their mum when she was pregnant, and that. And then the last one was the picture of the scan. So it's like there. It's kind of.
So beautiful.
Helen, you're right. Sorry, Kate. She gets a bit emotional. You're right. It's okay. She's just perimenopausal.
So many hormones.
She needs a moment.
No, it's waterproof mascara.
Yeah, no. Let's make this about you.
Yeah.
Let's make it about you.
That's so lovely. And did you have that chat kind of early on with Rio? Because obviously he had three children. Did you always want to have children yourself?
When I took on the three kids, I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine having another child. Like, whoa, this is intense. But then when we settled into it, I've always wanted a big family.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how a baby would slot in. Like, I think you don't, do you? You always think, how is my life going to change? How is this going to work? But actually, I mean, we've got one. We've got another one in my belly, so...
Did it slot in? Was it that simple?
I was really worried. I was thinking, how is this going to work? I'm, you know, a mum and I'm going to be called mummy and the three kids haven't got their mum. What is the dynamic going to be like? I see them all as brothers and sisters. Will they feel like that? Will it be different? Everything you could think, I thought, it is just exactly how I'd wish it to be. Mm-hmm. They're all brothers and sisters. They love Chris so much. He's like so spoilt with love and attention, and it's just so special.
Yeah,
honestly, I know you. There are obviously little things, you know, that I was worried about, as in what's my name, because I address myself as Mummy. Come to Mummy. How that would affect the kids. They've been fine. We've had chats about, again, talking. We just speak about it.
Do they call you Kate?
They call me Kate.
Yeah.
So Cree calls me Mummy, obviously. So we've found a name that is Mummy Kate.
Mm.
So they still call me Kate, but, oh, God, this is not making any bloody sense. This one.
No, it's not making any bloody sense.
It's useful.
It's confusing. But basically, we wanted them all to be one. So don't really want them all writing different Christmas cards and birthday cards, and I'd like to be able to write something to all of them that's the same. Mm. So we come up with Mummy Kate. So the kids call me Kate and Cree calls me Mummy. And then I was worried more about Tia saying, or Lorenzo Tate saying, go to Mummy, and them having to keep saying that, because when they were younger that was difficult for them when a mum would be around. But actually, they're great with it. They're really great with the whole thing.
Should we talk about you setting up Blended? So what sort of drove you to create this this community?
I just honestly, for years and years and years, I just felt like I really struggled. Mm. I still do now sometimes. And that everyone I spoke to, I've got lovely friends and fam, but they just didn't really understand. And I'd feel more alone sometimes after speaking to them. And I just thought, after doing the documentary of Rio, we'd done a documentary about becoming a step family, so many people reached out to me, and I thought, well, I just thought, am I going to be brave? I've just got so much to say, but actually I'm a bit scared to say it, because people that aren't in my situation might judge me. And I just thought, I think this could be needed. I didn't know. I literally just started an Instagram page, I'm going to be honest, and I thought it could be an absolute shambles, but I'm just going to share how I feel and see if that actually makes me feel better to start with, and hopefully it will help other people. Honestly, I'm overwhelmed with that. Now there's a podcast, I've got two books, and I didn't realise there's such a big gap in the market. There's such a big gap.
You're a multimedia node, Kate, just like us. Just like us.
No, honestly, I didn't realise that no one had really spoke about it. So me sitting in my feelings and feeling alone, so many people felt like that.
Mm.
So it's been so great. I'm just overwhelmed by the amount of people that say how much it helps them, but also for me, because I don't feel as overwhelmed all the time, because I know I'm not alone.
There's no instruction manual for this, is there?
There isn't for anything though, is there?
No,
so that's why I think it's so good, all these honest chats. I love them. Even when I gave birth to Curry, I thought, I just didn't know that this is what happened when you have a baby.
Do you mean the birth itself, or do you mean the day-to-day
aftermath
stuff? Right,
just like, right, I feel like you're so prepared up until you're giving birth, and you've got a birth plan, you've got everything, and then it's like, oh my
off
god
he goes. Yeah.
What happens now?
Yeah.
So I love listening to like really honest podcasts and just people being real. And actually, I think I was really scared to be real, because I thought I'd be judged. I thought I'd be judged for feeling that, you know, I haven't got it all together, and maybe my feelings, I don't know, people would not agree with them. But actually, it's really set me free, just being so honest and open, and admitting that I just haven't always got my shit together. Well, a lot of the time, I haven't got my shit together.
Well, and I think, I don't know, for me anyway, the world I've got, I've realised no one's got their shit together. Like, even people who look like they've got
Oprah.
Shit together.
Oh, maybe she does.
Even Stacey Solomon has a bad day sometimes, Helen.
Well, actually, I met her recently on holiday. She's like super mum. I said to her, how are you doing this? Like, we end up being in the same, like, holiday location, and she's just got all the babies. I said, wow,
She's amazing, isn't she?
Yeah, I said, you're making me feel like a bad mum. I was waiting for like breaks to sunbathe as much as possible.
How have you got all these children and time to make a pegboard? What's going on? No,
honestly, she's unbelievable.
Yeah, all right, maybe that was a bad example. She has
she's
got
a
shit. That was the worst example I could have chosen. I'm just thinking again, I'm so impressed by you, and I think it's amazing that you took all this on so young as well, because as I say, when I was 26, I was a fucking idiot, and there's no way I could have got to where you've got to about going absolutely spare. There must have been really hard times, right? And when you, so let's say there's someone listening to this, they've just met a world famous footballer on a beach trying to eat a hamburger and they've fallen in love,
they're just living their life,
yeah. And then apart from buy my book, what is the one piece of advice you would give to that girl?
Oh god, it's hard. I think I would just say, number one, you have to make time for you. You need to. I feel like I lost myself in the process of this. I feel like everyone was comparing me to like Rhea's previous wife and things like that, and I really lost myself, and I didn't feel like I was good enough. Just lead with love, and also remember who you are. Make time for yourself. You can't save everyone. I wanted to save everyone and be perfect for everyone, and I lost myself in the process. People will see you for who you are. So if you are a genuine person and there for the right reasons, they will see that. And if you're not, they will see that. So if you know you've got pure intentions, just continue. It's going to be hard. Please don't think it's going to be easy. It takes 4 to 7 years to feel comfortable, like you've found your spot within a blended family. And someone told me that at 2 years. I remember crying, thinking, are you joking? I've got another like however many years. But it's actually true. We're about 6 years now. I still have wobbles, but I feel really secure and like I know my role and we all know where we're at. So just keep going. Be around people that knew you before you're in this situation, that love you, that can remind you of how great you are. Because you're going to get a lot of people, when you come into this situation, a blended family, you're going to put their noses out of joint and you're going to feel like you're the problem. But just remember that you're not. Does that make sense?
What does making time for yourself mean to you? Is that like...
Gym, going to the gym. Going for a walk without the kids. Sorry, love going for a walk with the kids, but also just getting some fresh air, or just having a shower and saying, please do not disturb me. Honestly, please do not disturb
having
me.
Having a shit and saying, please do not disturb me. That's a daily treat for me when I had a baby. Yeah.
It's just every time I shower, the kids seem to come in and I'm like...
Yeah.
I done it to one of them the other day. I don't know if this is good parents or not. I've started doing to them what they do to me.
Yeah.
So just come and just sit in. What are you doing, Kate? Oh, this is what you do to me.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like it, do you? Okay, no. I'm going to stop doing it now. Do you know, like, doing those types of things? Just having a moment. Listen, I think we always think it's got to be a big, extravagant day out or a big this. It doesn't. Yeah. It could be 10 minutes. Could be an hour of just...
Just to catch your breath.
Just to have a minute, honestly.
Because that's what I'm thinking. You know, people who maybe don't have help or they're in it all the time, it can be hard.
And you know what? I always used to think at the beginning, say if you're having a moment and everything's coming over, feeling overwhelming, and you're in the kitchen, for example... I can't walk out because everyone's going to know something's wrong with me. No, I bloody can. Guys, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm going to go upstairs for 5 minutes and I'm going to come down and I'm going to be all right, but I just need a minute. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Yeah. Whereas before, I used to think, oh, they think I'm terrible. And every now and then I do. Guarantee one of them will knock on my door and I'll say, I'm busy, I'm just having a minute. I just need to gather myself. And when I come down, I feel better. Yeah, Doesn't always have to be something crazy extravagant.
I have been known to simply leave a room or indeed a restaurant table or a house without saying anything. Just simply getting up and walking away. And if they complain, I say, you wouldn't have enjoyed the alternative, my friends. You would not have enjoyed it.
This is a better situation.
I was actually great parenting.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's time, of course, for the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Yes.
Oh, hang on a minute. Yes. What is this?
So, wow.
We share a story of parenting failure.
I mean, since I've got a toddler and he's potty training, So we were on a holiday and I was all dressed, you know, it's posture training, all good. This is my last outfit. He weed all over the dress. And I just thought, I'm not changing. I've got the hairdryer out and I blow dried all of it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I went out and I thought, this is just, once upon a time, I think that is disgusting.
No.
But now it's needs must. We need to get out of the house. The weed was blow dried. So I suppose, is that one?
Love that. Kate Ferdinand walks around with dry piss on her clothes. You are a scummy mummy. Love that. Love that. I don't have one about me, but I want to share one that we had. We did some amazing shows last week and we get the audience to do scummy mummy confessions. So we had this amazing lady in Rotherham and she won. And she said that... when she was a kid, her nan, they used to go to Centre Parks, but obviously Centre Parks are very expensive. So her nan used to like hide the kids.
All the grandchildren.
So they'd have three in the back seat, two in the boot, and then two in the footwells. And the gran would cover them with food and clothes so they could get past Centre Park security. So I thought that was amazing. And she's like, and to this day, we have continued our nan's legacy. And we got her on stage. She was amazing. She's like, yeah, normally we book a lodge for 8, but then like 20 of us go. We just have a brilliant time. And I was like, amazing. So not only is that a confession, that's a money saving tip. Take that, Martin Lewis.
Absolutely excellent. Absolutely excellent. I talked to recently about having a new partner in my life, and I fanny farted in front of him for the first time.
I know that you've begun that, sis. A new partner in my life. Like, where's she going to go?
I wasn't expecting that, I've got to be honest.
Talk us through the incident.
So we'd woken up early Sunday morning and had a lovely time. Oh, accidentally left the window open. Sorry, neighbours. And then went downstairs and we thought, oh, we'll go out for a nice brunch. You know, we had a nice time together. And he was like, oh, I'll do the dishes. I was like, oh, he's a keeper. And I went to the loo, which is next to the kitchen. And my vagina turned into a trumpet. I burst out laughing. I couldn't stop.
Was it heralding the king's coronation?
Oh, I haven't done one of those for a very, very long time. And then I couldn't stop laughing. I was hysterical. And I was laughing in the loo. And he's like, are you okay there? And then I came out, I was still laughing. And he confessed he had heard it. He was like, I could have sat on the couch and not done the dishes. But I thought, I'll do the dishes. It's a lovely thing. And then I get to hear you making those noises at the toilet. I was like, oh.
Well, I'm very proud of you that you took that, because I know you were nervous about farting in front of him for the first time, because it's a big milestone, is it? Can you remember the first time you farted in front of Rio Ferdinand?
I've never done that.
You've never
Shut up! No.
Wow.
What? How?
Neither front nor bottom
front
hole.
Or back.
That's not something. Like, honestly, I'm just taking all this in, this story.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Because I don't know how I'd cope if that was me. I would be mortified.
Would you have to leave him? Would you just
get I just don't know even how I'd go. I don't even know how what I'd say or do. Honestly.
Like, you have fanny farted in your life.
I'm not even going.
She's a human lady. Doesn't need to answer that
question. Was that on the running order?
It's an unnecessary question because we all know the answer. It's unnecessary.
But it happens. It's just part of being a lady.
Little queef. No,
oh my God.
Little pop from the front.
Has he ever farted in front of you?
Sorry. Honestly, we don't. I know this.
You just don't do that.
I think it'd be easier to do that, but that's not something that happens in our house. Why? I don't know.
No, but I admire you. That must require remarkable restraint, physical, mental, emotional, just keeping it.
She's
all
an inspiration.
In there. Yeah, she is. And now I'm thinking about, does Stacey and Joe do it in front of each other?
We'll have to have her back on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll get her back on and ask her.
I'm clammy. I'm getting hot and bothered, honestly.
Okay, let's let her move on with her life.
Yes,
forget this hour ever happened. So How to Build a Family is out now.
Yes.
Yes, and it's brilliant, isn't it? Now, normally at this point, Helen likes to ask the guest how many pages it's got.
How many pages is it? Yes.
I know. You're making the face I make, Kate.
No, I read this book in the bath.
You can see the book soaks.
It's like what a jazz mag used to find in the woods in the 80s.
Don't make it mucky. Look at this. It's such a great book. And it is 216 pages. Yeah.
It's 216 pages.
That's how they judge the booker, you know.
Oh, yes, the pages. Yes.
And your kids' book. Tell us about your kids' book, Kate.
The Family Tree. That has got... Hang on a minute, let me just tell you.
That doesn't even have page numbers.
Oh, there you go. I can't tell you how many pages. I didn't think that was a question I'd be asked.
Let's just say, listener.
It's like woman's hour, really.
I read the whole of it in the taxi here. That should give me a rough idea. So that gives you a rough idea.
It's so beautiful.
I had help writing it because it all rhymes and it's all really, you know, I'm not a poet. So I've got a bit of, we made the story together. And then Emma Randall, she illustrated it. And it's just so magical and like pretty. And it was really important for me that there was all different kind of skin tones and hair types in the book. So, yeah, it's hopefully beautiful. Everyone can see a bit of themselves in there. That's what I was hoping.
Come and see us on tour. We're all over the country like we always are, Helen.
Yes, Brighton, Bath, Basingstoke, Wimborne, Birmingham.
Always start with the bees.
Please come to Birmingham. Yes, we're really excited about being on tour. And we've actually got dates for 2024. So, look at us. We just love being at reasonably priced hotels and going out for curries, don't we, Ellie?
And earning money. Yes, that's
money's,
right.
Money's a really good thing.
Anything else you want to plug or say or anything, Kate?
I'm thrown. I've got to be honest, guys. I think I've said enough. But thank you for having me.
Thank you very much, Kate Ferdinand.
Thank you so much for having me.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So where do you sort of see Blended going?
I don't really know, to be honest.
I think you should do a sitcom, right, where you move in these two nannies. One of them is an Australian. And one of them's from Southeast London. Like where Rio's from, to keep him, grounded, keep him back to his roots.
Interesting.
And we move in and there's just comedy ensues. That's my plan. Like, the Australian leaves the baby out in the sun for a few hours because it's good for you or something.
Yeah.
That's Southeast London. It's a bit dark, maybe not that.
Some Stella.
I'll think about it. Is that, yeah?
Yeah, have a think.
I'll get back to you.
Have a think.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.